This is Father Ted, and you are listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our second episode of the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. As I promised in our intro episode, I have my first guest today, and he is an OG of the Bunker. His name is Ali Pervali. He is a purple belt, and he's been training out of Rev MMA for a long time. He's going to tell you a little bit of his background. And the reason why I chose him to kind of be on the podcast first, the very first guest ever, is because he was my first he's one of my first training partners ever when I started jiu-jitsu back in 2019. When we met, he was already training for a while. And then when the bunker, when the pandemic hit, when COVID hit, and as I had mentioned in my last episode, I had set up the kind of like the bunker, like just these little blue crappy mats, you know, in one of the Sunday school classrooms in my church. He was my first friend to come and spend time and to roll and to teach me some things because I didn't know anything at white belt. And he was already an advanced blue belt. And so he is you could say he's the first member of the bunker. There are many others. And I'm really happy to have you on the podcast, Ali.
Hi, Ted. Hi, everybody. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Good old times. We started training at Bunker when everybody went underground and there was no place to roll. And you were kind enough to have a room set up, and it was good times. It was really good. It was good for both of us, I guess, at the time.
Yeah, you know, we had an outlet, right? And tell the listeners, okay, so how long have you been training jiu-jitsu yourself, total?
I started, I think it was 2014, or end of 2014, or beginning of the 2015 that I started. And it was actually really funny, like, how I started jiu-jitsu. At the time, I had a very good friend of mine, who was training jiu-jitsu for a very long time. He started jiu-jitsu way before even jiu-jitsu was a thing. So I used to see him. He used to teach me some stuff here and there. And I always wanted to try jiu-jitsu, but I never had a chance. I had a very busy schedule at the time. So now here comes my sister had a membership at this place. And she was moving from that location. So she had a couple months left from the membership, and she came up to me. She goes, like, listen, I'm moving. I won't be able to go to this location anymore. You might as well take over the membership and use the last couple of months. At the time, I was doing martial art, but it was mostly about striking. I never had any grappling or any training of sort. I walked into the gym, and so this gentleman came up to me. He's with the t-shirt, so I don't know who that is. He's not a bigger guy, as we know, like a medium type of large size dude. And he came up to me out of nowhere, and he asked me if I had any martial art background. Funny enough, I didn't know who this guy is, right? And I was much younger at the time, so in my head I'm like who are you to ask me such a question, right? So I said, yeah, like I have a little bit of I did a little bit of training on pretty much everything, and I walked away, right? Sure enough, this guy is the head coach of the gym. He's a champion. He's a tough guy. We go out on the mat, and at the time I'm 260 pound. I thought I'm pretty good. I can defend myself doing martial arts since I was 4 or 5 years old. It was a very humbling experience, I can tell you that. By the end of the session, I'm like, what have I been doing? None of the stuff that I learned and I practice up until now works. It doesn't matter, right, anymore. And the smallest guy would get me in submissions, and I didn't even understand what's happening to me. All I could tell was just like I'm tapping left and right by all this like much smaller type of guys, and I have no chance standing in front of them. So at the end of the class, I went home, and I'm like, and I'm really mad at myself, like why am I so weak? And I made a promise to myself that, like, yeah, that's it. And I'm gonna have to learn, and I'm gonna have to get good at it. So since that was my first day, and since then it's been almost what, 10 years now, 11 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, like it was quite of an experience. Like I still remember the very first day. I don't know. How was your first experience, Ted?
Well, so yeah, like so we both started at the same place, right? Like at Rev MMA, it's a big gym, right? And Joel, who's has been our instructor and longer for you, Joel Gershon, is yeah, he's an OG as well, right? Like he's one of the older kind of original guys who have been training jiu-jitsu before, like you said, before jiu-jitsu was a thing, at least in Canada, especially, right? And he's not a big guy, right? He's a smaller guy, you know, average, but like, okay, compared to me, I'm like almost 6'5", right? I'm like 300 something pounds, and you're a pretty big guy. You're a muscular guy. So I know exactly what you're saying when like you have Joel, who's like maybe what, like 150, you know?
Yeah. Right? I don't even think he's 150, to be honest.
Right, yeah, right, maybe less, right? He'll get upset if he hears this. He's like, oh, I'm 50, I'm like 130. But you know, he's lean, he's in really great shape, but like, you know, he's yeah, he's really great. And so, you know, like, yeah, it's a humbling experience. My experience was a little bit different because, you know, and I haven't really talked about it on this podcast yet, but like, you know, when I started and when you met me, if you remember, like I'm a big guy, but I was much fatter then. Like when I started, like I'm like 305 now, and I'm almost six, I'm 6'4", 6'5". So I'm pretty big guy, ultra heavy. But when I started, I was like really out of shape. I was like 370. I was really, really big, really, you know, bad. Like I couldn't even do warm-ups, right? And so, but the good thing was, at least for me, was that I started with the lunchtime classes and this other black belt, Mark Brunswick, who's really great. I really owe a lot to him. For keeping me in jiu-jitsu, because he was teaching this kind of review lunchtime class back then. And this is back in 20, right before COVID. So like I started in November 2019, and then COVID hit, you know, technically 2019, but 2020, everything shut down in March, right? So I had like 3-4 months of training. But I started with a lunchtime class, and yeah, I didn't know what was going on. It was like bizarre, because it was just like, I didn't even know what a shrimp was. Like, you know, like, shrimp to eat. you know, but he was very, very encouraging, and he never like made you feel like you were less or that you were not good enough, right? Like it was never put you down, never kind of like so that was really good for me. So yes, it was terrifying because I couldn't do the warm-ups properly, and I felt really out, like I was very out of shape, and I didn't even know what to do in the drills. But that it was more of an encouraging thing than what you had to go through, which was like to get submitted over and over to humble you, you know, like, it was a wonderful experience. I think different people need different things, right? Like maybe you needed that at that time to kind of, you know, wake you up and say, oh, this is something I really need. Right. And I needed it in a different way. Right. Like, at that point in my life. So, but you were training there. So you've been training like, a while. Like, did you train consistently for the last 10 years, or was it on and off? Like, you take breaks?
I never really took any break in terms of like a long break, but I think over the COVID, we all went over a little bit of a like we all started slacking a little bit in the beginning. It was more of a limitation that was imposed upon us, like, it was not really our choices. We made it work, and I'm glad that we did. But no, like it was not like I never really like as per se like took any break like for a longer break. And that scares me because like I feel like once you stop, then to come back it takes a lot of courage and strength. Like for example, you know, like I my work schedule, like I'm pretty busy in that sense, but like now I have a schedule that I know, like as per se, like I finish work at 7 p.m. and I'm there like at the gym around 8 p.m. to train like till 9:30, 10. And now if I take a break and I replace that with something else, whether it's a family related matters or like work related or whatever, and then like after 6 months or a year I want to come back, it's gonna be really hard, like mentally and like to find that time and take it out of your day to make sure that you're training consistently. So because of that, I always thought, like knowing myself, if I stop, there's a slight chance that I never come back.
Yeah.
And that scares me. And the other part of it is like, I'm sure you have the same experience, but a lot of my really, really good friends, and we are super close now, including yourself, they are all from the JITS community.
Yeah.
Right. And for me, training, it's not only the physical aspect of it, but it's also mental aspect as well. Right. Like I have a rough day at work, very stressful. I'm really tired, like mentally and physically. And the only thing that can change my mood is to come to the gym, see you guys, train with you guys, and for that hour, half, 2 hours that I'm training, that takes my mind off the stressful day that I had at work, right? And by the end of the training, I feel like a new person. Now I'm like, my brain reset, I'm good to go home and be a normal person. But without that, I make it really, like I feel like it would be really hard to have, like beside meditation, I know some people, they like meditation. Some people find that peace doing yoga or like other sports. For me, it's jiu-jitsu, right? Like, and like that aspect that you actually like train with your friends, you try to kill each other, but at the same time, you love each other. Right. Yeah. So I never really took any break from it. However, there were times that I was only able to train once a week, and like for a couple of months I could only train once a week, and that was it, but I never really quit.
Well, I remember because, well, so obviously our listeners don't know, you're a police officer, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a high stress job, but we thank you for everything you do for the community.
Oh, thank you for your support.
Because it's amazing. And people don't, I don't think people thank not only people, all people in service, whether they're police officers, whether they're paramedics, whether they're in the army. In Canada, people don't thank them, which is insane, right? But I met you before you were a police officer, right? So it's like, I remember when you were training, you had more time because you hadn't gone through the academy yet. You hadn't gotten into that field yet, right? So like when we met, you were a blue belt. And I think maybe you were like a one stripe or two stripe blue belt, I think, during the lockdowns. So you were around there.
That is very true. At the time, I think I was in the military.
Yeah, right? And you were coming out of that slowly. And then, okay, of course, COVID, like everything shut down. I was, you know, and then we were training, and then after we came out of COVID, then I remember you told me, yeah, you're interested in going into law enforcement. You really want to do that. And then I remember when you were in the academy, of course, it was so hard kind of going through that whole training period where you were gone for a long period of time because you had to do that. Right. And then you had to get into your routine. Right. So that was, but you kept coming, like it was less consistent than before. Right. But now you've kind of found your stride again because you've settled down into the career. Right.
That is very true. And to be honest, I don't think I ever got to thank you for the time over the COVID. I know, like at the time I had to stay physically in shape for the academy, but at the same time, there's no gym available. We're not allowed to go outside. So all I was left with was a couple of resistance bands that I had at home because I didn't see it coming. Otherwise, I would probably get more equipment for home. But at the time, you couldn't buy anything.
Yes.
Everything was sold out, right? And I had only a couple of resistance bands at home that I was training mostly body weight and then
Oh, yeah,
training with
this
you.
is 300-pound white belt guy to beat on.
Right? No, but like, yeah, that was really good because, yeah, like at the time, like you were a white belt, but at the same time, you had the strength. You were a strong guy, and I really liked the fact that you were not like from the very get-go. You were not one of those guys that like use your strength instead of learning the technique. And I really admired that about you because even though you could put that 360 pound on anybody's face and probably you would tap, but you wanted to learn the technique. You wanted to not rely on your weight, and that's something that not a lot of people probably have, especially in the beginning. I know I didn't have it. I was among the more stronger type of dude, and it took me a while to get that out of my head that it's about the technique, it's about the timing, and it's not about like the strength. Like when you are white belt, generally, normally people like think that like every role is a competition, right? As you get more advanced in the game, then you realize that yes, it is like a competition, but it's like a mini competition. It's something that it's a friendly competition as per se, right? Now, like obviously, like I'm more chill after 10 years, but the first few years I didn't have that. But you had it from the very get-go. And that was really good. That was good on you for
I
having
appreciate
that.
that. Yeah. And you know, like, yeah, like it's, I appreciate that. I do try to do that. Like, COVID was a blessing for me personally because it was in COVID. I lost a lot of weight. I had time. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have the rat race because, okay, everybody knows I'm a priest, right? So, you know, my job is very, it's high stress as well. People wouldn't think that, but it is
It is.
because you're
No,
just dealing with
100%.
problems all the time. And it's also your schedule's all over the place, right? So you know, it's I need jujitsu as well. I need it. Like, and even though I people you mentioned meditation, well, obviously I do a lot of prayer, and it's very helpful. But doing something physical with it, like, you know, it's not just the mental, but the physical is very, very good, right? For your body, like to reset and your brain. Yeah, being a big guy, obviously, like, you know, some guys, like you said, they like to smash all the time and they don't care. But COVID, because it was you, for example, so I don't believe in luck. I was blessed that I had good friends like you, Dara, you know, remember Phil, I'm gonna get him on the podcast too, who's also a police officer, you know what I mean? Like guys who are coming to the bunker who are good guys, like not work, not learn, no ego, like to sit there and like try to like kill you, but just rather, okay, let's, you know, let's learn from each other and let's we make mistakes, okay, whatever. And that was good because I got to spend that COVID time. You know, there was other training. We're not supposed to talk about the secret training places, right?
Right.
It's all done now. Who cares? But you know, so I was going to a lot of different places and I was able to learn. But it was nice because it was kind of like what's it called? It was like a lab. You know, it's like you know, there's just two of us in there or two or three of us. We were able to like try things out. You didn't have the pressure of having a big class, right? And you could it was kind of like having little privates with each other,
That is very true.
and that was nice. Like it was nice to kind of and I think that also helped me, like to be more gentle. Like because I don't know, maybe if we never had COVID and we were just in the gym, I don't know. Maybe I would have been more aggressive. Maybe I would have to try to keep up with everybody else trying to kill me in the gym. You know, you don't know.
That
So
is true.
yeah, that's
But
why I really liked it.
yeah, like the beauty of jiu-jitsu, in my opinion at least, is every single person who starts jiu-jitsu goes through that experience, right?
Yeah.
Like they start from thinking that they are somewhat okay because majority of the people that they join jiu-jitsu, they have some sort of background in fitness or martial art, at least the people that I came across so far, right? And then they get on the mat thinking that somewhat they're able to protect themselves and protect their loved ones, right? And now they're on the mat and they're training with people that they're more advanced, and they realize that, no, I don't have what it takes to protect myself should something happens, right? And it takes a little bit of a time to understand the game, to appreciate it, and to learn it, right? And now, a couple years later, when they see somebody else is joining the gym, that brand new person on the mat, because they lived that experience, they are more helpful, they are more giving, and they are more forgiving on the mat. Yes. As per se, like we all know that, like, as like, for example, if a person shows up on the mat the first day and he is going like very like super crazy or whatever, and every single one of us can smash this guy, what we don't do it, because we know that it's not him, it's a little bit of an ego and a little bit of a false beliefs that he had in his own head, and it takes a little bit of a time for him or her to understand that no, that's not it. You have to learn the technique, you have to learn the timing, you have to put time and train, and you're gonna one day you're gonna be just as good, right? So we are more forgiving because we lived that experience. If I didn't live that experience, maybe I wasn't that person, or maybe like you wouldn't be that person. But now, if somebody shows up at the gym, bigger guy or bigger girl, more stronger, like we all know that, okay, this person is going to be spousey for like a couple of weeks, couple of months, but that's a learning experience for him or her. And eventually he's going to come around. And 99% of the time, that's what happens. If that person doesn't quit, that's usually what happens. Like first couple of months, they go super crazy, and then they slow down and they come around. And that's the beauty of Jiu-Jitsu. Like I said, I did different type of martial art up until 10 years ago. And all the other martial arts, at least the one that I tried, they rely a lot on your physical strength. They rely a lot on your, like the timing is also very important in most of the martial art, but they do a lot of training to increase your strength, to increase your physical abilities. Versus in jiu-jitsu, like it is created for the smaller people to be able to overcome the power of bigger people, right? It's not a to a certain extent, it's not about how strong you are, how big you are. We both know our instructor, Arthur, he's not a big guy. As a matter of fact, he's pretty, like I would say, lean and tall, but he's a beast, right?
Yes.
And like I'm twice his weight probably. I don't stand a chance in front of him, right? And that's how it is. Like I feel like if you go to a, as per se, karate gym or any other martial art, if you're a strong guy, you still have a chance to survive. In jiu-jitsu you don't.
Yeah.
Right. And that's very humbling. That's something, that's an experience that I don't change with anything in this world, right? That very first day, and I will never forget in my life.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it extends not just to size either, but even to speed and athleticism, because, you know, like, okay, jiu-jitsu people who also between themselves, like when two people train, obviously, okay, strength and speed and all that kind of stuff is going to play a bigger role, because now you have two competitors, right? Like two people who are both trained, right? But when we're talking about jiu-jitsu against untrained people, of course, okay, you have an advantage because the other person doesn't know what they're doing. And that's like in any martial art, right? But even like within the competitive world or even amongst jiu-jitsu practitioners, it's not even size, but even like other advantages / disadvantages. And what do I mean by that? Like, I'm a big guy. Okay. Yeah, but I'm not fast, right? I'm not fast compared to some of these younger. I'm old. Like, I'm almost 44, right? So I'm like a master's three when I compete. So when I'm training with most of the guys at the gym who are young in their 20s, right? They're fast. They got stamina. They got more in the tank. And even if they're smaller than me, they can run circles around me, which means they can pass my guard very quickly. I don't have the same flexibility as them, all that kind of stuff, right? So even more in those situations, it can even work in those situations. And I would say I'm an example of that, where I've learned, at least over the last 5.5 years I've been doing it, that, okay, I'm not going to beat them in speed. I'm not going to beat them sometimes even in strength, all right? But I can beat them in technique. I can wait. Different game, right? You wait for
that is very true.
Yeah, you wait for them to make a mistake. You know, you play possum a bit. You do this. You do some things. It's a different game, right? But you can win if you just know, like, you know, apply the better technique, even when the guy is like, when strength sometimes not going to help you, right? When you got
no, 100%. And there is a very famous saying about this. It says, timing beats technique and technique beats strength.
Yeah.
Right. And you're really right. Like, jiu-jitsu does help to know your limitations and to know your strengths. And I think that the best guys that they do compete, or they train, not necessarily compete, they are, it's a matter of forcing your opponent to play your game instead of you play their game, right? Mm-hmm. And this is what I always say to the beginners. I'm like, yes, you're 140 pounds. You know you're stronger than you. But now what you have is the speed. If you increase your speed, you might have a chance to pass my guard, right? But if you want to come with this slow and methodical game that I play, all right, because my cardio is not like as good as somebody who's 140 pounds in their 20s, right? You know you're gonna lose. But if you increase the speed, now you have a chance, because I will eventually get tired,
yeah,
and you're gonna be able to beat me, right? And that's the case, right? Like, you learn a lot about yourself. You learn both, and I don't think it's only physical, more mentally as well, because like, you're constantly thinking and you're constantly like, you got to come up with this strategy, how to deal with this guy. As per se, I know some people are against that, but if I am competing with someone, I try to get as much information as I can about that person. Again, this is very controversial. I know some people are going to be opposed to that. But for me, like, I want to know what this guy is about. Mm. How does he play the game? Is he a fast guy? Is he a slow guy? Is he like, how can I play my game or change my game to be able to beat this person instead of just going on the mat and be surprised, right? Mm. I've dealt with the guys that, like, they're super fast and they don't stop for 1 second. And my head was spinning by the end of the competition, right? I couldn't think because I was so distracted by him just moving around me, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I knew a little bit more about him, right, I would be more mentally prepared. So all I'm saying is, like, when you train jiu-jitsu, it's like, not only you're training your body, but you're also training your mind. And hence why you see a lot of successful people on the mat. some people that you don't even expect that they do or they have any time to train anything, never mind jiu-jitsu, right? Like they both know a heart surgeon that is like training with us, right? And he's probably one of the if not the best one in Canada, but like and the first time I met him, I'm like, do you even have time to train? Like, how do you make time, right? But for him, like, he or Mark Zuckerberg trained, like
I was
all
just gonna
this,
say that,
right? Like all these like super successful people, because like I feel like they realize that jiu-jitsu is not only physical. Mm-hmm. There's a mental aspect to it that helps you become a better person, make a better decision in a timely manner, and that's the beauty about jiu-jitsu. At least that's the way I look at it, right? Compared to other stuff that I did before jiu-jitsu. And that's why for the past 10 years, I don't think I like throw a punch at all. Because now like I have tools that I can control the person instead of like punching and kicking, where I can damage myself, I can hurt myself, I can hurt other people. But with jiu-jitsu, you have the tools to control, to safely control the person without hurting them. Right? And that's beautiful. That's really nice.
Yeah, everything you said, you know, you said it all. For me, it's even beyond that. Like, you know, I had my other podcast, you know, with Father Thomas, you know, the Fighting Priest, which was a different thing. It was like more religious, but there's a reason why Father Thomas and myself, like, you know, why we love jiu-jitsu so much, and we're also both priests, and why we see so, like, it's not like that it's a spiritual thing. It's just that everything that we believe in, as far as like, you mentioned the friendships, you mentioned the community, it's like the community is really, really good. And even your training partners, you find good training partners, the trust you have, because it's a physical thing, because it's an intimate thing, like not in a creepy way, but you know what I mean? Like it's an intimate thing.
No, 100%
it
is.
Yeah, right? So you have to like trust the other human being that they're not going to hurt you when you're like in the most compromising, vulnerable positions. Like, you know, the guy's got you in an arm bar. All you need is to have a person who has something bad in their heart. You know, they're not having a good day, or that, you know, they're just not a nice person, just to do one little inch tap and they're going to break your arm. Right.
100%.
Right. So it takes a lot to, that's why, like, maybe, you know, we see each other less than some other people. Like, for example, I might see you twice a week, let's say, right. I might see other people 5 days a week. Right. But I can feel closer to you as a friend, because I trust you. Like, I know that I know that I can trust you. Like, you know, it's like, I don't have to worry about you. I hope you don't have to worry, you know, you don't have to worry about me. Like, and it's like, we know, because we've been, you know, in such a close quarters for 5 years, at least our friendship, 5.5 years, like, you know, the other person, you just know, and you know, their personality from the way they move, their body moves.
100%.
You can tell somebody when they're telling you one thing, but their body language says something else. Right. And so, you know, that's what I like about jiu-jitsu. It's like, you know, because me as a priest too, like as a Christian, like for me, like one of the big things is that it's not what you say, it's what you do. That's the most important thing in your life. Like, you can say, we all say a lot of stupid things, you know, we talk, we gossip,
Well, 100%.
But what you do shows who you are. But you can cry and complain about stuff, but in the end, if you do the right thing, you do the right thing, right? And there's a lot of people who say all the right stuff, but then they do the wrong actions, right? So, you know, that's why I think it's so, the community is so tight knit, your friends, like when you have close friends, and even some people, they move away, or they have to switch a gym or something, whatever. There's lots of different life experiences that happen. People get married, people, you know, whatever, have kids, all these different things that happen, but they tend to stick together. Like, even, you know.
Oh, then again, like, and 2 points that you mentioned, the intimacy and, like the friendship over the years, and it is interesting because, for example, Mark, like son, I know him since he was 14, right? And he was a little guy, like training jiu-jitsu with us. Obviously, like he was so little, and we all loved him because he was the youngest one in the gym. And I watched him growing up, right? And now obviously he's very successful, doing big things. Whatever, and he's not here as much, but whenever he comes back to Toronto and I see him, I'm really happy to see him because I feel like he's part of the family.
Is it your nephew
Like,
or something?
I watched him grow up, right? And I used to always make fun of him, like I was like, yeah, like I can't, I'll beat you up for as much as I can because you're going to grow up and your game is going to be 10 times better than me. And he is really good too. Like he's not a bigger guy, but like he's very good. And one
He's a
thing
Brindleball.
about,
He's a Brindleball. Yeah,
and
not far
he's
behind. Yeah.
extremely fast. And like technically he should be a brown black belt because he has started training really young. But like, you know, under the 18, they have different grading system, so it's different. But if like he trained as much as he did as an adult, he would be a black belt right now. And yeah, like I'm always happy. Like I feel like he's like both of them, like they're part of my family, and I always love to roll with them and share some joy. The other part of it, the intimacy that you mentioned, and it's funny because I was just reading a paper a couple of months ago, and it was arguing that the jiu-jitsu is addictive because of the touch, that sense of touching that is lost in today's world, right? Like back in the days, like people used to like do a proper handshake and give each other hugs and whatever, and then like we went from hugging each other to just a handshake, and then COVID happened, and now we don't even do the handshake, and we do the fist bump. Some people don't even do that, right? And it was arguing in that paper that our nature is like based on our nature, we need that sense of touching, right? And obviously, like we are not talking about like inappropriate touching, but like you know what I'm saying,
Yeah, we need contact,
like
physical contact.
yeah, the physical contact, right? And that's what it's lost in today's world. However, in the sports like jiu-jitsu, like whether it's jiu-jitsu, judo, or like wrestling, that like you are actually like touching another human being, and like you like have fun and share some joy on the mat, it becomes really addictive because you don't get it anywhere else,
Yes.
right? And like the more you do it, the more you like it, that energy that is transferred between among people on the mat or in the dojo, it is just like it becomes part of your routine and it becomes part of your personality. And now you're dependent to it, right? Like you need to exchange that energy
Yeah.
with people that you trust and people that you love, right? And again, like I know I'm being too positive about jiu-jitsu. Obviously, we are not talking about the negative parts and all the injuries that you can
No,
get,
well,
right? The pain and like the misery like that comes sometimes with it. But these are all the points that makes jiu-jitsu really special among like all the other sports.
I think the negative is even positive because, like, it's not just the grappling. Like, there is something very primal about people like going in a battle together, like in the ancient world, right? Like, people go to war, they go to battle, and then those soldiers, they're friends for life. Like there's a camaraderie there, right? And yeah, okay, in jiu-jitsu, we're not like okay going out to war and facing life and death, but you are it's combat, right? You're always struggling together, and there is something very primal about that kind of unites you, right? And you can even see it like I competed like February Durham at the Durham in Oshawa, right? Durham Open, right? Just an example. So it's like I fought two guys I never met before in my life, right? It was nice guys, right? And so one guy, the first fight I had, which I actually lost, and And we fought once, and then, you know, shook hands. It was great. Whatever. I saw him at the podium, and that was it. And then, like, I saw him by fluke at like Comic Con with my son. I was downtown like 2 weeks ago, right? And I go to Comic Con with my son, George, right? And who, you know, like, all my kids train jiu-jitsu as well.
Yeah.
One of the twins. So I go with George, and me and George, we go every year to Comic Con. So I'm walking down the aisles, you know, they got all the comics and stuff like that. And I see this big, tall, black guy, whatever, right? Got his son, right? And just like out of the corner of my eye, and it's a pack, you know, thousands of people there, right? In the convention center, right? And what was the first thing we did? Oh, a big hug, you know, it's like,
exactly.
Like you're seeing an old friend, even though I've only seen you once. But we fought together, only one time. But you feel like this bond. Like, I don't know. It's weird. It's different than just meeting somebody, like an acquaintance somewhere at a party, whatever, right? When you fought together, you feel like you have a connection with that. I do, at least, right?
No, 100%. I totally agree. Yeah. It's a different connection. Like, there were people that they trained with us for a period of 6 months or 1 year, and they are still like very close with each other, right? Like for example, you mentioned Phil, and I can bring you like so many other examples. Like, I think Phil only trained at Rev for like a year.
No, he was more.
It was more.
It was at least a year and a half, maybe two. It was actually longer than you think, because he was there from like COVID, right?
Okay. Like, so yeah, like if it was like if you include like 2 years, the COVID maybe. Time, yeah, right. But then again, like, he's one of like that my close friends I would consider like at work, right? Or my old partner at my old division. She was like then again, like, I only knew her briefly before work, and then like I started work, and there you go. We were in the same platoon. We became permanent partner, and she's like one of my best friends ever, right now. Because like, it's a different type of connection. Like, you can't find it anywhere else. And I think we're all fortunate to be part of this community, right? And also, I don't think there's any other sport, or at least the sports that I know, that you can go to any place in the world, find a jits gym, go and train with them, and most of the time they're super welcoming. Like, I would say 99% of the time they're very welcoming. You make lots of friends. And then like, it happened to me that like, I went to train with them once, and then that they're like, yeah, we are going out after the like after the gym, like, why don't you just come with us or join, right? Or like, this guy invited me to his place. Like, we didn't even know each other. We just trained for like an hour together, right? But like, you build that trust that, okay, I can trust this person, and enough to bring him home, right? Yes. And that's a big thing. And also like, bringing people from like different faiths, right? Like, I you know me, I'm not that religious at all. You're a priest. We have people from different faiths at the gym, but we are all like a family, right? Yeah. And we are all super close. And it's like, it's a beautiful thing that we can have all these people together, be this close to each other, even though they might not necessarily believe, have the same, share the same beliefs with each other, right? And again, that's a beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu. And like, I couldn't be any happier. Like, if I go 10 years back, if I go 20 years back, right? One thing that I regret that I didn't do earlier was starting jiu-jitsu. Like, I wish when I moved to Canada 20 years ago, like, I would start jiu-jitsu much earlier, and I could be better, like, in terms of my game and whatever. But I wouldn't, like, 10 years ago when I joined the gym, I wouldn't change a thing. Like, this is the best, one of the best things that ever happened to me. And again, like, it was a pure luck, I would say, because I wasn't planning to join, and I wasn't planning to start at the time that I did start, but it just worked out, and it worked out beautifully, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah. And to take it back to like just kind of wrap it up a bit. We're okay on time, but like, you know, just talking for a while. But you know, to bring it back to like, you know, the what's it called? The group, the subgroup under the group, which is the bunker. No,
Right.
because you know, we have, you know, we were at Rev, you're still at Rev, you know, for a long time. And you know, you're at Rev still. I was at Rev for 5.5 years. You know, you have your club, you know, you have your local gym that you train at, but then also sometimes, you know, you also build the jiu-jitsu communities bigger, right? So like the bunker was like a, it was a pan jiu-jitsu club, in which basically means everybody was
welcome,
right? Like there was no, it wasn't just guys from one club originally. Okay. It was you and me and, you know, two or three other guys that started showing up from our gym. Cause okay, who did I know back
true.
Then? But then, you know, if you remember, like, it was, yeah, I don't think anybody came from other clubs at the beginning because I didn't know anybody and I was kind of putting it on. But then slowly, like, you know, remember we had two lockdowns, right? You know, we had the first lockdown.
Yep.
And then, you know, then things reopened in the summer. And then we had another round of lockdowns, right? And then when they had the Omicron thing, whatever, the other wave.
Mm-hmm.
And if you remember, like, you know, so for those who don't know, like, we started – at least at the church there, we started in this little Sunday school classroom and we didn't have any good mats. I had borrowed these mats actually from a friend of mine who has, she has a kickboxing club, right? She's a Greek woman and she has a pretty good kickboxing club. She's like, and she's like, oh yeah, I have these little blue, you know, those blue gymnastic mats, you know, Velcro ones.
Yeah, I remember.
They're not jitsu mats. Like they're like 1 inch, like they're not very good. So she let me go get those and we put them there and it was kind of not ghetto, but it was like, you know, it was like, it wasn't great.
Oh, it worked out.
It worked out. Yeah. But it was just enough basically for one couple to roll a bit. And even then we were falling off the edges.
Yeah.
Right. Cause we're big guys too. But then when it shut down, I gave those mats back. We thought, hey, the lockdowns are done. Were we wrong? Right. We were wrong. And then when the second lockdowns were coming, I was like, oh, you know, like, well, I'm going to keep this, like this bunker thing. Let's do it more permanent. So there was another room in the back, like in my old church where I was at, you know, which was kind of like a storage room, but it was bigger and it was nice, big square room. And it was like really gross and all this kind of stuff was in there. And you can even see like, if you go to the Fighting Priest Instagram, like there's like a time lapse of like the cleaning that I did of it, like where it shows, it was all storage. So I went to like my board there and I'm like, hey guys, you guys are not using this. If I clean it up and I organize everything, can I have this room to train? And they're like, great. I'm like, oh, thank you. So then I cleaned it. So during the Omicron lockdown, and I was actually sick. That's when I actually got COVID, right? So it was like, I was sick for like a week and a half. I was cleaning all that out, painted it all white, made it look pretty.
I remember
cool,
you
right?
Sending me pictures.
Yeah, right? I got the professional mats. Like I think they were 10 by 10s. They weren't massive, but they were professional Matsuru mats, like from Montreal. They're really nice. And then that's when like the bunker started to take off. I think like it was like the next level. It was like, you know, we started inviting friends from like other clubs as well. So it wasn't just you now. It was like, you know, it went to like, I think it was like 13 different people were coming through at different, not always at the same time, but like different people would come through from like, it was like three different clubs at the time. Right.
Yeah. And one thing that helped a lot is like, you are actually a very social person. And it was good to, because at the time, again, like I wasn't going to any other gym. I just recently started to like do attend other gyms and try to expose to different bodies. But like at the time, my schedule was not allowing me to train the way I wanted to for the time being. Sure. And you had that ability to like attract people from different gyms and like make friends with other people, and that was really a good thing. And it takes a lot of initiative for a person to start such a thing, and that was, you had that, and kudos to you. Like it helped me, it helped a lot of people at the time, and we had so much fun. It was like, I remember that was the only thing in my day, because We were on lockdown. We didn't have anything else to do. It was the only thing in my day that I would look forward to.
Yeah.
To just come, like, sit down together. And that was it. Like, you had a beautiful church. That was, I think that was the first time I actually stepped my foot inside any church. And I the first time I walked in, I was like, this place is beautiful. Like,
yeah.
Right? Like, you showed me around, and that was such an experience too.
And then we went upstairs and killed each other.
Right? Yeah.
Know? And then people are like downstairs, like, what is that banging upstairs? Like, oh, don't worry, just call the tent, like, poking people up. It was yeah, no, it was good. And like, thank you for that. Like, it was good for me too. Like, it's just because, yeah, you're right. I'm a social person. Like, okay, it's kind of like the profession that I'm in, right? But yeah, it's nice to have friends in different places, but like to kind of bring them together and have that core group of people. And you know, you were saying something before, it's like, oh, you know, like different people, different religions, different political background, all this kind of stuff, right? And that's what that's where I was going with this as far as the bunker. It's like, I remember the first bunker tournament, because we've done three bunker holiday tournaments now, right? The first one was just between us. It was just eight guys, right? And that was just for fun. It was not organized. It was in that little room. You know, we just did it with, you know, case of beer, whoever wins. Ryan won it.
Right.
We'll get Ryan on here too. Ryan McKeever.
He got lucky. I wasn't able to compete.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think you were working, right? Like,
I was work. Yeah.
Yeah, you were working. But you know, it's like, it was just for fun. But yeah, I was seeing, like, just even that one, because like I still have the video up on YouTube of that initial bunker, and Dimitri was there, and Panos was there, and all these guys.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, you got all these people, and you see the world, like, it's like, especially now, right? Politically, it's horrible, right? All these people yelling and screaming on TV. You know, people don't even care. Like, they like to have their tribes and yell at each other, right? So, you know, it's like, but we never had any problems in the bunker. No, nor have
never
we had problems in our clubs either, right?
No, we never have. We always get along. Like,
yeah,
we got
right?
along very well.
Yeah.
And again, like, that's the beautiful thing about Jiu-Jitsu, right? Like, you have so much to think about that you're not even thinking about anything else. Like, all those animosity that exists in this world nowadays, and all those, like, hatred, and like all those negative, like, energy, it's like we had that, like, we are fortunate enough to be able to park all those things outside of the gym and come and train and make friends, and it works out, right? Like, this is like, there's no ego on the mat. There's no, like it's a, like, to me, the mat, like, it's such a respectful place that people are able to find themselves first, and then find people alike second, right? And I know I'm fortunate enough to make some of my best friends on the mat. And I consider myself very lucky to be part of this community, because I would not be the same person, and I would not be in the same place as I am right now if it wasn't because of Jiu-Jitsu. I don't think I mentioned, but like, two of the people that helped me through my career journey, they were both, you know them, Jose and Amanda, they were both from the JITS community, also GP, so three of them, that they helped me a lot to, like, when I was going, like, before the academy starts, and then when I was going through the academy, right? And all three of them, they are from the JITS community, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, I know I would not be the same person, and I would not be sitting here right now if it wasn't because of Jiu-Jitsu, right? I don't know what would happen to me. Maybe I was in a different place, whatever, but Jiu-Jitsu definitely shaped my life and helped me organize my thoughts and be a better person, I would say, and have better people in my life, a good people in my life, right? And I couldn't be more thankful myself. And I know a lot of people that they went through the same experience though.
Sure.
Right. Like I said, that like you mentioned earlier, that sense of trust that you develop on the mat, it goes beyond and above the mat. Right.
Yes.
It goes beyond and above that hour or 2 hours that you're training on the mat. It becomes part of your life. The people that you meet, the people that you train, they become part of your life, right? And that's a beautiful thing about jiu-jitsu. And I wish more and more people, even though it's becoming more popular nowadays, but I unfortunately not so many people tend to stay long enough to get and explore that part of this sport, right? Like a majority of, like I know when I first started, you don't really appreciate the art because you don't understand the art, right? And you just feel like, okay, this happened out of luck, that happened, like you don't understand it. But like after a period of year or two, you just start appreciating it more, you just start understanding it more. And this is why, like, anybody ask me like that they want to start jiu-jitsu, I always tell them that like go to the gym that you have to do a 1 year contract, so you're forced to train for a year instead of just going try it for a month or for a week and see if you like it or not, because nobody's gonna like it for the first month.
Yeah. Yeah. Why, you have to be dedicated.
Why would I like to go and get beat up and not understand anything? Right. But like after a year, I feel like you are, at least for me, that was my experience. Now you understand better. Now you understand, okay, maybe I can't do this move, but I understand when somebody does it to me.
Yep.
Right. And I appreciate it. So yeah, like I always tell people, like, if you want to try jiu-jitsu, make sure you do a 1 year contract. So you're forced to do it for 1 year. And I feel like more and more people can benefit from jits, even though it's becoming more popular, but it's not still, I don't think it's popular enough.
Sure. Yeah. I still do that to this day. I still sign 1 year contracts because, okay, you're going to say I like it, but like, I still commit. It's like,
yeah,
the 1 year, whatever happens, I got to finish out this. It's a psychological thing too, right? It's like
100%.
No matter what, I've paid the money up front. I'm doing it. Like I don't want to get out of it. Right. So I want to be fully committed to it, but I agree with you 100%. Like, people need to give something a chance, and more than just, oh, you know, a month or two. It takes a very long time to change your habits, your personal habits. And you got to force yourself. And then, of course, it helps when you have a good community, right? When you have, because it's accountability too, right? It's like, you're missing, your friend calls you, where were you? Right? So you feel, no, but it's good, because when you're alone and you don't have any friends, and it's very easy to dip out and just to quit, because like, no one's going to miss me, right? If I'm there or not. But when you have a community around, and it kind of like, it forces you. And that's, and I'm not going to lie to you, like, that's also one of the reasons why I kept the bunker thing going too, because, okay, you know, because I moved to this new church 2 years ago, I wasn't able to set up that private bunker room here, even though it's way bigger, but we use all the space here. So I didn't have a private little room. So that kind of sucked, because we lost that kind of weekly, you know, training. It's a little further away. It's Mississauga. It's far for people. But everybody were calling me up. Are we still going to do the tournament? That's the funny thing. You know, I'm like, okay, let's do the tournament, right? And it's like, let's keep doing that, which is only once a year. Now people are telling me you should do twice a year. I'm like, okay, it's enough.
Well, you made it so much fun. Like, you make that tournament very fun.
But everybody chips in, right? Like, it was amazing. Like, we've done it 2 times now, like, as far as the new location here, which is bigger now. And it's okay. It's not too big. It's 16 people. Plus, now we have a female division. We're raising some food for, like, the homeless, you know. But a lot of people pitch in, like come out of the woodwork. They're like, oh, you know, like you need help with this, I'll help. You need me to donate for this, I'll help, right? So, you know, it gives you something to look forward. Like we have lots of things to look forward to. Obviously, we're training all the time and some of us compete and all this kind of stuff, right? But it gives you like another kind of community building event that brings lots of people. Sometimes you get some of your friends, maybe you haven't seen them all year because they're like, you know, we had guys this year from Gracie Bolton, Humaita Bolton, like, which is, you know, it's a little far. It's not far, but you know what I mean? It's out of the way for us, right? And I got friends up there. That's why I invited them. And it's nice to see them have a contingent come out to the bunker tournament. It's like, hey, where have you guys been up? Like, I see them, but maybe I see them like 2-3 times a year max, right? To see them and to go by and to have them come, like it's nice to kind of expand it like that and have people come together and say, oh, you know, what have you been up to, right? So yeah, it's community building. It keeps you accountable, it keeps you involved, it keeps you, I don't know, like learning more about the community. Why did I do the podcast? Because I want to hang out with you guys more. It's just, you know, it's an opportunity to touch base with people in between the tournaments. Right. Go out.
No, 100%.
It was really important to me. Like one of the reasons why I started this was like, okay, I want to do, it's more local. Okay. Like this is something that's more Toronto based, but like, you know, of course you can talk to anybody, but it's important to me, like to spotlight people who helped with all this, people who like participated, who made the bunker. Like this tournament is becoming a thing where I really enjoy doing it every year. It's helping some people out. It's helping young blue belts who are kind of never competed before. Like Arthur always says, you know, if you never competed and you're afraid to compete, or you're afraid to get injured, or you're afraid, you know, go to this invitational because it's like safe and we know the people and, you know, people are not going to try to rip your arm off. You know what I mean? Like it's more, you know, fun, right?
And it's all good for a good cause too, right?
Yeah, it's a good cause, but it's also good. It's a, you know, it's more closed, smaller community and it is safer because the people who are going there are not going there to hurt each other. They exactly. All, most people know each other. And it's just it's a different environment than when you go to a massive.
It is. Well, put it this way. I took a day off work to come to Bunker.
You're on the video, man. All the Persians are sitting there on the panel like this, like freaking out about this. It's awesome. The video's amazing. When Dimitri wants to get in there, you're just like, oh!
Oh yeah, I was getting a little too excited when Dimitri was fighting, but yeah, it was good time, right? 100%.
We'll keep doing it, and we'll keep having fun. So
we'll keep trying up.
Yeah, man. Okay. Anyways, Ali, you know what? We're at it. We're over an hour, dude. So we're gonna.
It's always good, like me and you, and whenever we sit down, man, the time goes by.
Yeah, super. And you're quick. The first guest on this podcast.
I'm honored, man.
I had to go to you, man. You're my first partner and one of my oldest friends of jiu-jitsu, and I had to go to you first. And I'm really happy that you made time for it.
Thank you for having me on.
I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you've taught me over the years so far. And yeah, I'm very, very appreciative and grateful for you. And
likewise.
Yeah, man. And
thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll look forward to training some more in the future. And
100%.
The future will come back on the podcast as well.
There you go.
Okay, bro. Thank you so much.
All right. Absolutely. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bunker Jiu-Jitsu podcast. Feel free to follow us on Instagram and YouTube. And if you want to reach out with any questions or if you're interested in being on the show, feel free to email us at bunkerjiujitsu@gmail.com. Thanks and take care.